Just walking by. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with thought for today. Just walking by. On the hills of Galilee, Jesus was up there giving his talk, Sermon on the Mount, and 5,000 people gathered around him from everywhere. And a lot of people walked by and said, "What's going on?" "Oh, some Messiah, some prophet is talking, and we're going to go hear him." "Oh, that's nice." And he's just walking by. And he has no interest in going to hear this fellow. He has other things to do. He has to go herd his goats and his sheep, and he has to go take care of his farm. He has to go take care of his family. His wife's expecting him home with a loaf of bread she ordered, and he is on his way. So he's just passing by. Here he had the opportunity to hear some rather remarkable ideas, and he was just passing by. How many times have we been just passing by on great experiences in life where we could have something really fantastic happen to us, something really remarkable take place in our world? I sit here at the table with the monks here at the monastery, and somebody asked me a question, and we're talking about an interesting subject, such as philosophy or whatever. And then little Love is trying to get in his basket and cover himself up with his towel. And instantly, Ellen has her attention turned over to little Love. So she's indeed just passing by. She's missing the beautiful discussion on philosophy that we're having because her attention is wandering by over to the dog getting in his basket. At another time, we're having a beautiful lecture here, and naturally I'm giving it, and every lecture I give is beautiful, but we're having a beautiful lecture here, and the telephone rings. Well, now what takes precedence, my lecture or the telephone? Can you imagine the symphony hall if the telephone rang and everybody stopped playing their instruments and all the audience waited while the conductor answered his cellular phone? I mean, he wouldn't have his job very long, would he? Because he was distracted. He allowed himself to be distracted from conducting his symphony concert. And we oftentimes do things like this. We allow ourselves to be distracted. You all ask yourself this simple question: how can I be one-pointed? How can I be one-pointed? Well, you can't. Nobody can be one-pointed because everybody is distractible and distracted. Now, can you be not distracted? Oh, yes. But it takes training. It takes training. When you are working with your children and you're teaching them values and they're teaching them good things, and you're telling them how important it is to be the kind of person that you want other people to be. If you want to be a loving person and you want other people to be a loving person, you have to always be a loving person. And when you're always a loving person, what you do, you're always having good thoughts in your mind. You're always having good thoughts in your heart. Now the children are listening to you, and you're creating illustrations to illustrate what you're talking about. And then Johnny next door calls, "Hey, can you come out and play?" And you as the mother could allow yourself to be distracted, or you could just say, "Come on in, James, come on in." And so James comes in. "Sit down, James, we're just talking about ideas here." "Oh, that's interesting. Our family never talks about anything. We never have any discussions. We never do anything. Hey, that's interesting." So your family gains a new understanding of talking together, and they're learning how to be one-pointed. And they're learning that their mother did not allow herself to be distracted just because the neighbor boy wanted to come over and play. She just invited him in. She drew a circle and included him in. Now, do you want to learn to be one-pointed? Do you want to learn to be a master? Do you want to learn to do these things? Well, apparently not. Because if you wanted to learn to be a master, you would give attention 100% to whatever it is that you say you want to learn. Now, do you want to learn how to play the piano? Well, take your hour of practice and give 100% to it. Don't be thinking about going off and going to the bathroom and getting a glass of water or getting a sandwich or doing anything else like that. And don't think of going outside playing with the other kids or doing anything else. You sit at that piano and you think how beautiful this music is and how wonderful this music is and how consistently you go playing that scale and learning it. And pretty soon you know it. And pretty soon it's yours. You have learned how to be one-pointed. But if in all of our life we are allowing ourselves to be distracted, then we have problems. The man walking by Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, just passing by. And, well, why don't you stop in? My wife told me to bring home a loaf of bread, and I'm bringing home some bread. Well, he's one-pointed. I'm bringing the bread home. Besides which, he didn't think the fellow would be anything interesting to listen to. Now, we have a YouTube thing, and it's about this famous violinist. And he is just utterly amazing. He performs in the highest circles and gets the highest pay, and just an amazing fellow. Well, the Washington Post newspaper decided they were going to have a little example. And so they took him and put him in ordinary street clothing with dungarees and so forth, you know, Levi's. And so they had him playing his violin on the street corner in the train station, you know, and that surely people would stop and listen to him. Because, I mean, he puts on a concert and it costs $100 a seat to get into it. And he plays his $3.5 million violin. You know, amazing. And here he's standing on a street corner, dressed casually, and playing this, and playing some of the finest music that his instrument plays. And in an hour's time, $30 were dropped into his violin case. In an hour's time, maybe many people heard him, but he was out of sync. If he were playing some charming, uplifting, delightful music that society enjoys hearing, like the Sound of Music, you know, or something like that, or the Hallelujah Chorus, or something, you know, that digs people, he would have had a lot of people listening. But because he played a very beautiful piece, but it was a very little-known piece to the normal listening public, very few people stopped and listened. And the few who stopped and listened, listened only temporarily before they had to rush off to whatever else they wanted to do. Now, that's a beautiful thing. It's a very telling thing. It shows that, just imagine, when the Hallelujah was sung in the train station, everybody stood up. Mm-hmm. Everybody applauded. It was something they were familiar with. It was not the player. It was not the singers. The singers were very nice too. But it was the music. It was a choice. Now, if this fellow had chosen a piece of music like that, or a piece of music which was charming and which was something that captures the people's attention, like the Sound of Music, you know. The hills are alive with the sound of music. And you're just hearing the melody of that. It just tingles your soul and makes you just sit up and say, wow. But why is it that we are not able to give our attention to things that we think and should be important, and we think should be something that we give our attention to? Why don't we do it? Well, we just don't do it because we haven't trained ourselves. We haven't trained ourselves. Little children are very good at this. A little child will watch a caterpillar crawl from here to here across the floor and go here, and he'll watch little bugs do things, and he'll sit and he'll watch different things going on. He has beautiful concentration. We don't teach him to develop that. We teach him, oh, come away, there's more interesting things than that. Or no, that's interesting, but not interesting at all. And we don't teach our children how to be one-pointed. We don't teach ourselves how to be one-pointed. But it's very easy to do. It's very easy to do. If you have a nosebleed, you have one pointed concentration on stopping it. Putting a cold compress on your nose or whatever. But one pointed, you want to stop that nosebleed before it gets all over your shirt and your pants and your clothes and over the floor and everything. You know, a little bit of blood goes a long way. But you learn to be one pointed whenever it seems to be very necessary. Now, can we learn to be one-pointed on things that are of great value to us? We want to say, I am ideal, spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal, mind, spirit, and body. I am ideal, mind, spirit. Now, after a while, you get tired of saying it. After a while, you get tired. I am a good boy. I am a good boy. After a while, you get tired of saying it. You want to have fun. You know? This is no fun. 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 We make these concentrated things, and then we reap the harvest, and then we wonder why it's all so unhappy. We wonder why everything doesn't go the way we want. We say, I'm whole and perfect. And then in the back of our mind is, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. We are not even one-pointed in that. We go in to visit a sick relative who is dying. Now, it doesn't matter whether they're dying or whether they're sick or whether they're living or whether they're in. We go in to visit the sick relative, and you say to them, oh, you look good. I see you whole and perfect. You're wonderful. And we don't mean it. We don't mean it because they're dying. They are dying, and there's nothing we can do about it. But one-pointedly, a master can do something about it. One-pointedly, Jesus could do something about it. Pick up your bed and walk. One-pointedly, a doctor can do something about it. He comes in and, there, it's okay now, I'm here, salvation is here, protection is here, help is here. And that's not being facetious. But that's what the doctor's charisma is. That's what the nurse's charisma is. The nurse puts her hand on your forehead and right away, you feel wonderful. Now, mother puts her hand on a child's forehead. He feels good. You can put your attention on anything you want, and you can have beautiful results if you're one-pointed. Or are you just passing by? Are you just passing by? Where are your values? The values of the 5,000 who gathered to hear Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount were with him, presumably. And he could be heard at the farthest hill as well as he could be heard next to him. So there's no problem in hearing what he was saying. But there's only one problem. Did they want to hear it? Well, they were there. They went there. That's why they went there. Or did they go there to be seen? Did they go there as a community activity, as some sort of theater that they had, and they have no shows and no television or anything? So that was their outing for the day. That was their outing for the week or the month. That was their excitement. And that's about all the excitement they had in those days, too. The little kids would kick the can around the yard, and they didn't even have a can. They didn't make cans in those days. They kicked the corn cob or whatever, something like that. But they found things. They always do. But when they did it, did they give it their full attention? You bet. They weren't just passing by. Daddy comes along and he sees them kicking it, and they kick it to Daddy and they say, kick it. And Daddy knows they're going to say, kick it. He's ready for it. And so he has himself primed to be in the right position to kick it, so it makes a real good showing that Daddy is good. And he gave it his one-pointed attention, and it worked. Whereas if the kids just said, Daddy, kick it, and so he offhandedly kicks it, and it doesn't do anything necessarily. But we all need to learn, if we have any ideal or any joy in our life, and we want to be one-pointed in that joy, the only way we can be successfully one-pointed is by giving it our 100% attention. Now, Ellen, did you notice how little love quieted down and you didn't even go over and take care of him? And you really weren't worried about it? You see, when you're worried about it, he gets those vibes. He knows. When you give him your attention, he knows. And the same with anything in life. Now, where do you want your attention to be? Do you want your attention to be on what you are or what you wish? So, who are you? Are you beautiful? Are you wonderful? Are you intelligent? Are you happy? Are you wholesome people? That's good. Yeah. People come to campus and they say, Herb, give some seminars, give some lectures, give some talks, you know. So I give talks. And you guys are here all the time, and I give a few talks, and you allow yourself to be distracted all too easily. But that's all right. It just shows me how important the talks are to you and how important it is for me to give them in your presence. So I give them at home, because when I'm with myself, I give myself 100% attention. And Rex is laying there watching me and giving me 100% attention. And all the mice and all the little ants and all the critters that are in the house, they're sitting in their rafters or wherever they are and watching me and saying, go for it, Herb, go for it. We're behind you 100%. And I say, thank you. Thank you, my wonderful audience. Know that I like me. I like me. I like me.